Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports. Let's go! The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate. Let's go! Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Everyone, Stevie TPFL back, and you another edition of the Morning Grind podcast. It's presented by RotoGrinders.com, but we have a new little sponsorship that we need to talk about. Our friends over at FantasyDraft.com have jumped aboard the podcast and said that, hey, you guys are doing such a great job that we want to put our name behind your podcast. So Fantasy Draft is going to be a site that we're going to be working in some prices, working on doing maybe a couple cool things with them. But for the most part, you know, we're going to talk more two-pitcher sites than one-pitcher sites now and work in some of their pricing. But for the overall, Gonzalez, we're still going to kind of do our thing. And it's Monday, so we got our normal Monday guest here. And I'm hoping your daughter is doing better from the pink eye situation. Hoop, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, yeah. Kids came down with a little illness last week. Just one quick trip to Chuck E. Cheese, and that was enough to do the damage for an entire week. back to full health. Everything's good to go. Happy to be here talking this MLB slate. Congratulations on the sponsorship. You know, I'm definitely happy that Fantasy Draft hopped on board. Great website. You know, I'd advise everyone to definitely check it out.
Yeah, man, I love two-pitcher sites. I feel like it's more skill-based. I would love to see FanDuel go to a two-pitcher site. But I can understand, you know, there's a lot of sites out there now, and FanDuel is one of the only ones that I can think of that is a one-pitcher site. So like, I can kind of understand that. But I like being able to, you know, take two pitchers, and if one guy, you know, semi doesn't pitch well and your other guy pitches really well, you know, you can still have a decent night. So. Yep. Man, it's a 10-game slate, Hoop. It was a busy weekend for me at the race. I hope you had a good weekend, but I feel like we just need to jump into this thing, man. So let's get it started here with the first game of the night, and it's Chicago Cubs visiting Pittsburgh. We got Gerrit Cole and Jason Hamill on the hill. Looking at the slate, it's not the best slate in the world, but I feel like these two pitchers are interesting options. What's your take on these guys?
Yeah, the pitching is definitely a relatively, I think, obvious weak point on this slate. You start looking at the options, and there's not a ton. I think there's one guy that kind of stands out a little bit, but after him, I just don't think there's really too much. We'll address that a little bit later. I think these guys are both in play. I mean, guys have been pitching really well this season. Hamill, you know, off to a really good start. Gerrit Cole has also been pitching well, pitched, you know, relatively decent in Coors Field in his last start. So I think both these guys are in play. And, you know, I'd say more specifically in play on two-pitcher sites such as Fantasy Draft.
Yeah, if we're looking at Fantasy Draft, these guys are priced pretty close on FanDuel, Hamill being 89 and Cole being 91. Their prices are really close. Now, when we look at Fantasy Draft, Hamill is 15.6, which is – really mid-tier, almost, you know, the highest priced pitcher is Cueto at 20,800. Yeah. So when we're looking at a guy like Hamill, who's like 8 or 9 down on the list, I feel like he's an interesting option. I feel like the problem with Hamill here is it's a tough matchup against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the ballpark's definitely favors the pitchers. But that being said, you know, the lineup for Pittsburgh is somewhat dangerous. They have guys that can do damage against righties and lefties. You know, Polanco has been swinging a hot stick. Obviously, McCutcheon, Jaso leading off. So a lot of guys that can do damage. You know, I don't think these guys are really in play on single pitcher sites. Definitely in play on two pitcher sites, though. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Now, looking at the hitters in this game, I don't know if Cole and Hamill are going to be two guys that I really target much. Like you mentioned, like we said, it's a 10-game slate. Like, are we really going to need hitters at a pitcher's ballpark with these two pitchers on the hill?
No, and you're just going to, in cash games specifically, you're not going to be really looking to this game. You know, maybe a cheapie here or there, you know, if you need some savings at first base, like John Jaso is still pretty cheap. I think he's in play. Anyone you know, surprisingly, that anyone that kind of works their way up to the order that's, you know, not typically at the top of the order, I think you can use as salary savings. But for the most part here, we're not going to be overly interested in the hitters.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said there. I'm not, I really don't think I'm going to target these bats a lot. Even in tournaments, you know, even if we're looking at like a stack, you know, Gerrit Cole is a pretty solid pitcher, and Hamill has been really solid this season. So even in a stack in a tournament, it's really tough for me to recommend either one of these teams. So we're going to swing it on over to a game that's a lot more favorable here. It's Texas visiting Toronto at the Rogers Center. We're looking at the slate. This is by far, I don't know if by far, but this is one of the best ballparks that we're going to target for hitters tonight. There's probably two or three places that we really want to target that are hitters parks, and this is probably the top one for sure. We've got AJ Griffin and R.A. Dickey. R.A. Dickey has looked awful this season.
Yeah.
I would say beyond awful, wouldn't you? Like 33 hits in 26 innings?
Yeah, really bad. He has not looked good. And like you said, this is one of the premier hitting environments in all of baseball, definitely the top hitting environment on the slate. You get A.J. Griffin coming in here, who's been solid this season, but, you know, don't let those numbers fool you. I mean, it's a whole different ball game when you're an opposing pitcher traveling to the Rogers Center. And Vegas does not believe this guy one bit. You know, the total here is 9 with the Blue Jays favored by about minus 140, which puts the Blue Jays team total at about somewhere between 4.5 and 5, which is a lot of runs. So they think that the Blue Jays are going to get to AJ Griffin here. So a lot of bats to target, obviously, on the Blue Jays side of things. If Saunders continues to lead off, he's a fine option. Then you got the next four guys, the big bats there. You got Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, and then Tulo. So a lot of solid options. All those guys are in play. Obviously, this will probably be one of the more popular stacks of the night in tournaments. So you're not going to be super, super sneaky, but if they go out there and score, you know, 10 runs, then you're going to need it to win. So definitely want to get some exposure to these guys. Any of them that you can work in cash games makes sense. And obviously, like I said, a very appealing stack as well.
Yeah, so like you said, Vegas doesn't agree with Griffin's numbers, and if we dig into the stats, like his ERA is really solid, but his xFIP is much higher than his ERA, which tells us like regression is going to happen. And if we want regression to happen, why not against the Blue Jays at Rogers Center? So you mentioned Saunders. He's 6,400 on fantasy draft. I think he's a very solid cash option if he bats leadoff. Tulowitzki, 6,400 as well. Those guys are really cheap over there.
Yeah.
Another guy that's really cheap is Mazzara. And we've seen this on a few sites that have lagged his price. Looks to be locked into that 2 spot. He's only 5,700. Way under value here at under 6K on fantasy draft. I like Mazzara a lot in this game. Probably my favorite hitter from Texas.
Yeah, he's definitely locked in that 2 spot. I like him a lot. You can add Prince Fielder to the list. I think he's in play. His price stands out to me the most on FanDuel, where he's only 3.1K. That's an extreme value in this matchup as far as I'm concerned. So I like him. And I wouldn't be afraid of anyone else that kind of, you know, I wouldn't shy away from any of these other guys that are at the top. If DeShields is up there or Odor, both fine options, Beltre, you know, it's obviously probably the best game to load up on. So, you know, definitely all these bats in play.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. You know, we talk about it from time to time when Dickey takes the hill. BVP, very talked about in the industry. Do you believe in it? Do you not believe in it? Something that I think everybody looks at when it comes to knuckleball guys. And not a lot of at-bats against Dickey for these guys, so it'd be interesting to see how they fare. In limited at-bats, they've hit some home runs. They have some nice ISO power numbers against him. So that'd be interesting to see how it plays out. You mentioned all the Blue Jay bats that I wanted to talk about, so I feel like we can talk about San Francisco at Cincinnati. And Johnny Cueto making that return to the American Small Park, taking on Brandon Finnegan.
Yeah, and, you know, due to this slate lacking standout pitching options, Johnny Cueto's got to be the top option here for your cash games. Now, I'm not saying he is a must play. You know, obviously he doesn't carry the same upside that a Clayton Kershaw carries, like we saw today. 9 innings, 14 strikeouts, picked up the win and drove in the only run that the Dodgers scored, which is even more impressive. So I don't think he's a must play on the slate. I wouldn't have an issue dropping down, maybe taking a risk at starting pitcher if I can load up on some bats, just the nature of the slate. But that being said, I think he's the safest, and when it's all said and done, he probably has the highest likelihood of putting out the most fantasy points at the position, so I have to rank him number one.
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it. Looking at the slate, it's Cueto, Keuchel, Gio, the three top highest priced pitchers, and Keuchel hasn't looked good. Gio has a matchup with Kansas City. And Cueto against his old team, you have to think, you know, he's going to get pumped up for this game. You know, whoever it is, you have to think that going back to a ballpark that, you know, you pretty much pitched a majority of your career, you know, being, you know, your home ballpark, it just has to come here. And he's coming off of his best game of the season, strikeouts against the Padres. I like him to keep the momentum going here. And, you know, if we're looking at the Reds, yeah, the ballpark is very favorable, but they're ranked 28th in WOBA this season against righties, and they're striking out a 22% clip. So this is definitely a favorable matchup for him outside of, you know, it being a very friendly hitter's ballpark.
Yeah, like it's just definitely the top option. There's just no doubt about it. And like you said, going back to, you know, the ballpark where he basically played his entire career, and he's going to be amped up for this game. He's a decent favorite according to Vegas, about -155. That's a nice number there. Total is 7.5. So the top option on the slate, if you're spending up, he makes the most sense. In terms of hitters from this game, you know, obviously I think we can ignore the Reds for the most part. Not much appeal. We don't really want to pick on Cueto that much. But the Giants, I think they have some interesting bats here facing off with Finnegan. So they have some guys in the lineup that can hit left-handed pitching pretty well. I think Posey obviously stands out at the top of the list. And he's basically priced down just about everywhere across the industry. FanDuel specifically, he's 3.4K. He's reasonable priced on fantasy draft as well. Hunter Pence stands out to me. Lineup spot has not been ideal. They've had him down there in the sixth spot. If he gets a boost, you know, I think it would add a little more appeal, but it's definitely a guy that we can consider and a guy that's also priced down a little bit. So those are the two guys that kind of stand out to me as interesting options here for the Giants.
Yeah, love Posey here. When we're looking at Finnegan's numbers, the sample size is still pretty small with him, even dating back to last year, only 57 innings against righties. And the WOBA is pretty solid at 294, but he's given up a really hard contact rate. It's 33.1% over those 57 innings against righties. So you have to feel like, you know, the power bats, like you mentioned, Posey, Pence, some of these righties are really interesting plays. And for tournaments, I love Brandon Crawford against lefties. I play him against the lefties all the time, and it's still for everyday players and everybody that's been playing fantasy for the last couple of years, everybody's kind of caught on that, you know, Crawford's good against lefties. But for the casual fan, and, you know, for probably 85 to 90% of the people playing tomorrow, they don't know that Crawford's good against lefties, and he should be under-owned in this matchup. And You almost have to really like him at his $2,700 price tag.
Yeah, he'll be extremely low-owned. Lefty-lefty matchups are things that most people just, you know, write off right from the get-go. Don't really dig into it much more beyond seeing the you know, the lefty versus lefty situation. So I like that call. You know, be curious to see what they do with that lineup. If they, you know, maybe bump one of these righties towards the top. Typically they have Span Panic right there at the top. Another guy I wanted to mention, actually, Duffy. They've had him in that three hole. If he continues to be in that three hole, definitely have some interest in him. I mean, he's really cheap.
Yeah, $2,700 on a FanDuel for Duffy. And, you know, looking at fantasy draft, Duffy, it's priced a little bit more favorable on FanDuel. Like, he's $7,800. There's some other bats in his price range that I feel like we could pay for outside of Duffy, but I feel like he's a good tournament play across the board here. So I definitely agree with you there. Swinging on over, Atlanta visiting Citi Field to take on the Mets. We got Bartolo Colon, our favorite pitcher. And I know I'm going to murder this name. Mike Fulnewinski?
Sure, that works for me. I'm not even going to give it a shot, I'll tell you that much.
Like, that's the best, the best guess I can do. He was scratched from AAA on Friday, and he's put together, they're saying, a 1-2 ERA or 1-2 record with a pretty decent, strikeout rate, but his walks are through the roof. So it's an interesting game here.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy. He pitched for him last year, and he sucks. So I'm just going to assume that he still sucks, which puts some of these Mets bats in play. I mean, the guys here at the top, you got Granderson, Conforto, Cespedes, Lucas Duda, probably my favorite out of all these Mets guys. Neil Walker, priced up, though. I mean, his price is coming up after a recent hot streak, so all in play. I mean, and the prices have been on the rise for a lot of these guys. I like stacking them up. I like some individual pieces in cash games as well. Definitely a guy that we can pick on.
Yeah, and like you said, he pitched last season with the Braves, and 401 wOBA against lefties, not much better with a 364 wOBA against righties. It was ugly, to be honest for a second. So this is an interesting spot. It's really an interesting spot because, like you said, the Mets offense really highly priced because of the production that we've gotten for them. But I'm having a tough time not wanting to target a lot of these Mets batters on all formats and all sites here.
Yeah, absolutely. They should do some damage here. Obviously, not the best hitting environment, but I think it's all right to overlook it. This, I'll just call him Mike F, is not a very good pitcher. So feel free to go ahead and pick on this guy as much as possible.
Yeah, and a couple of plays that I want to mention here on Fantasy Draft. Duda's really cheap at 7,600. Conforto at 7,500 is a guy that I'm not saying he's a must play. I'm saying he's a very, 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 very good play at that price tag here on Fantasy Draft. And even Neil Walker, he's 8,100, but Neil Walker is ripping the cover off the ball to start the season down.
Yeah, he's on fire. So all guys you want to target, basically in all formats.
So on the other side for the Mets here, we have Colon pitching. Colon, it's a favorable matchup against the Braves, who man, we can be honest, their power numbers are just by far awful. Their wOBA against righties is awful. Their strikeout rate is much higher than it was last year, so that just makes this offense just awful in general.
Yeah, it's just bad all around. No, I mean, literally no power from these guys. I mean, Freddie Freeman was a guy that we could target last season, when priced down, but just awful. And the fact that he's hitting around just such awful guys, I think just drives down any sort of value. I don't think I can pull the trigger on him. I mean, I just don't think there's going to be many times this season where we're going to go ahead and say, all right, we're targeting this Braves hitter. It just isn't going to happen. The overall lineup is just brutal. It's going to take a trip to Coors Field, I think, before we get over the excitement of playing any Atlanta Braves guys.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. Like, they are that bad. Duda, not Duda, Freeman is probably the only guy. Maybe it would depend if AJ Pruszynski is batting in the four spot. I feel like maybe as a catcher punt play, he's only 2,100 on FanDuel, so. If he's batting in the four spot and I get a matchup against Colon with Pruszynski,
I could see punting with him, definitely.
yeah, catcher in the four spot, I could see that for sure, especially if you want to fit in Cueto and some of the bats from Toronto and some of these Mets bats. So I can get that. Freeman's only going to hit value this year when he hits home runs. Like, they're going to pitch around him so many times this year. And the thing is, like, that even benefits Pruszynski more. So, Pruszynski getting up with guys on, it's just Pruszynski's not a home run guy anymore, but if he hits a double in the gap and he has runners on, he's going to get some RBIs.
Yep, I agree with you there.
Moving on to the next game. And we're moving right along here. That's how we do it, Mike. The Angels visiting the Brewers. We have Jared soft tossing, wiffle ball throwing Weaver. Against Jimmy, I cannot get out anybody on the left side of the plate, Nelson.
Yeah, it's pretty cut and dry, like you said. I mean, the story has been written for these two guys, and there's really no escaping it. The total in this game is sitting at 8.5. It's a very favorable park for hitters, obviously, here in Milwaukee, and I think we can safely ignore both pitchers in all formats and safely target hitters on both sides of the plate here, both in elite spots, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I feel like people will look at Nelson because they feel like the Angels offense has not been good this season. They're 27th in WOBA against righties this season. So the offense has struggled. And I feel like people will look at Nelson. But the thing you have to realize with the Angels, and I'm starting to realize this more and more as the season goes on, they're kind of like what we've seen with the Braves last year. Their numbers aren't strong, but they do not strike out a lot. I'm pretty sure like they're top one or two in least amount of strikeouts against righties this season. So they're just not striking out. So there's no upside here with Nelson. Weaver, I pretty much summed it up. He's a wiffle ball throwing right-handed pitcher. And let's talk about some of these bats. We'll talk about the visiting Angels first here. Who do you like against Nelson?
A lot of guys. I think Mike Trout is probably in contention for the top overall hitter on the slate. Price obviously up there, but you know, I don't think there's a pitcher that we absolutely need to pay up for. So definitely got to consider, you said Nelson struggles getting out lefties. Cole Calhoun is a guy that hits from the left side of the plate and has a very reasonable price tag across the industry. Typically will bat fifth, so I think he's in play. I wouldn't be opposed to playing Yunel Escobar, who just continues to get on base and do damage at the top of the order for the Angels. And then also, obviously, Albert Pujols, I think, is in play, even though, you know, righty-righty matchup. But the price, for the most part, is down on Pujols, so, you know, I like those guys specifically. All in play, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you know, Escobar, he had a little bit of a slump, but looks to be getting back on the right page.
Yeah.
Calhoun has been really hit or miss this season. I feel like a lot of people expected a lot more different things for him, but with him being up or down, like you mentioned, price tag is really fair across the industry. Like him as a tournament play, I agree with you. Trout, one of the top options. It's definitely an interesting matchup here for the Angels. So I agree everything you said. Pujols cheap at 3,300. Maybe even some of these guys that get favorable lineup spots that are cheap. I feel like we can target them as well. But let's talk about some of these Brewers. Weaver is a guy that, man, it's just amazing that a guy that throws in the mid to, I wouldn't even say high, because it's like 85 to 87 miles an hour. Like, he's not getting up. Like, he's not getting hit as much as I thought he would. You know, he's giving him more than a hit per inning, but I feel like it's coming.
He's going to get rocked at some point. This very well could be a Brewers kind of busted out in a big way today. They scored a ton of runs. I can't remember the exact number, but it was in the double digits.
It was
so
a lot.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe they, you know, continue on here, momentum behind them, and put up another big number against Weaver. And, you know, the guys that are standing out to me, Domingo Santana, if he continues to lead off, he's a guy that you're going to want to target. He's cheap all around the industry. He has speed upside, some power as well. So I like him. If Villar bats second, definitely a guy to consider at shortstop, which is typically a pretty barren position. So wouldn't mind going there. Then obviously you have Braun, Chris Carter. Oh my gosh. Had like a ridiculous game today. Home run, doubles, runs, just a ton of stuff. More of a tournament play for me. I can't pull the trigger on Chris Carter in cash games. And then Jonathan Lucroy. So, I mean, the bats are endless here. It's a 10-game slate. I think this is right up there with the Blue Jays games in terms of, you know, games to target your DFS players from.
Yeah, Chris Carter, 50 FanDuel points in that game on Sunday. Two home runs, a double, three RBIs, three runs scored. It was a massive game for him. Don't roster him thinking he's going to score 50 fantasy points again.
He's going into Sunday, he was a tournament option. Coming out of Sunday, he's still a tournament option. He's a guy that you're rarely going to want to play in cash. A lot of times he has trouble making contact at the plate. He is a high strikeout batter. So, you know, still continue to target him in tournaments. I don't think at this point I can endorse him as a cash game play.
Yeah, I agree with you. Even though it is really enticing that, like, Weaver's swinging strike rate is under 8% this season. So I'm not too worried about Chris Carter striking out. I agree with you. I feel like there's one guy I want to talk about. You pretty much nailed everything, so I don't want to spend too much time. But Lucroy, he is I feel like he's cash game only because he has no more home run upside. He hasn't hit any home runs. He hasn't shown any power numbers. I feel like he is cash only.
Yeah, and it kind of dates back to last season, too. You kind of saw it coming last year. I don't know. I mean, more definitely cash game option, like you say. He'll continue to hit fourth. He has a good price tag. But the upside in tournaments might be going away, unfortunately. So, you know, do what you want with that information. I think definitely a guy to consider for cash games. And, yeah, you probably nailed it there for the tournaments. Upside just appears to be, you know, not there. I mean, the guy, he's a safe bet to get on base and score you a run. And that's fine for cash games and tournaments. You're looking for a little bit more. You want guys that can hit multiple balls over the fence. I don't know if he has that anymore.
Yeah, and honestly, like, even in cash today, I think that I would rather have A.J. Pruszynski at $900 cheaper. The ballpark's much more favorable for Milwaukee here, but I'm okay with punting and just, like, I feel like both of them can score 9 points.
Yep, I'm with you.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Like I said, I feel like you nailed Braun, all those guys, Santana, really cheap across the industry. I feel like you nailed that, so we're going to talk about Minnesota and Houston here. Jose Barreros against Dallas Keuchel. Keuchel getting the home matchup here, but Keuchel does not look like Keuchel this season.
No, and I'm pulling out the hoop hot take of the day here, sneaky tournament stack, however you want to phrase it. I like the Twins in tournaments. Like you said, Keuchel has not looked good this season. The Twins have guys in the roster that can do damage against left-handed pitching, Dozier, Sano, Plouffe not in the lineup injured, but they have guys that can get it done against lefties, so going to be super low-owned. Keuchel hasn't looked good this season. I think it's worth a shot in tournaments. The ballpark, very favorable for hitters as well, so I like the Twins in tournaments today. And I, you know, I'm not really interested in Keuchel, honestly. In cash games, I don't even know if I really am that interested in tournaments, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like the hot take. I really do, because I feel like you're right. Like, I don't know if Keuchel's the option here. I think that I'd much rather have a guy like Cueto. And, like, if we're looking at Keuchel's velocity, it's down. It's really concerning. It bumped up a little bit in his last start, but it also was a little bit farther down. So it's really weird because Keuchel's a guy, like, we've relied on a lot over the last year and a half, especially at home, but I just don't know if it's there. And he's so highly priced that I just don't know if it's there.
Especially on FanDuel, like 10-5, I can't pay that for a guy that hasn't looked right this season, giving up five earned runs, six earned runs in his last two starts. I can't do that.
Yeah, and he's the second highest priced pitcher on fantasy draft at 19-2. It's just not. I don't know if this is it. And Jose Barreros made his major league debut. Gave up 5 runs, 6 hits in, what was it, four innings? A little over four innings. I think he started, but he was, you know, he's a top prospect. I just don't know if this is a matchup here that I want to target him against Houston.
No, Houston's right up there with teams that you want to load up on the bats. And it's obvious with the Astros. You know the guys that are typically going to do the damage. It starts at the top with Altuve. Priced very fairly on FanDuel specifically, 4.1K. That's just much too cheap for a guy of his skill set. Shown some power recently as well, a couple home runs in the past week. Obviously has a stolen base upside. But then the list goes on after that. You want Springer, Rasmus, Correa at shortstop, Gattis if he works his way to the top. If Preston Tucker's in there, he's a guy to play basically a full punt with some decent upside. So, like the Astros bats here, I definitely want to get some exposure to these guys in all formats.
Yeah, I feel like Altuve is going to be a very popular cash game play. 4,100. You know, looking at what he's done this season, it's just been fantastic. And it's something that we've come to kind of expect out of Altuve. And we get him at a little bit of a discount here, so I like it a lot. I agree with you on that aspect. Rasmus, probably my favorite tournament play. His batted ball velocity is through the roof this season. When he's making contact, it's hard contact. So, and then, like you said, you like the Twins stack here. I agree with you. I think Sano, Park, Dozier, probably my favorite three here.
Park. Yeah, Park's the guy I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
I didn't realize 50 home runs back-to-back seasons in the wherever he, Japanese league or wherever he
Yeah, man, the dude has massive power.
Yeah.
Like, he already has, what, six this season?
Yeah, he has some power, so I like that call there, too. So, yeah, I like all those guys in tournaments.
And then, like, if you're doing, like, a four-man stack, I feel like if Nunez is the leadoff guy, just go ahead and throw him in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Stolen base upside, all that good stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff that we like, my friend. Philadelphia yes. at St. Louis, Jeremy Hellickson coming off of his best game of the season against Adam Wainwright. Was it Wainwright's best game of the season too? Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, he won. He gave up seven hits and he struck out five. Five strikeouts for Wainwright's doing something right.
Yeah. He just hasn't looked right this year. Obviously, I cannot recommend playing him at this point in the season. Just has not looked good. I watched a little bit of that game. Kind of got bailed out in some big spots there against the Diamondbacks. I believe it was last time out. So. Definitely can't endorse playing him, even in this matchup against the Phillies. And I really wish he was playing against a more potent offense because I'd love to load up against him.
Yeah, but I feel like we can target some of these backs. And I don't know if we need to spend time on Hellickson. He looked good in that start, don't get me wrong. But do we really take pitchers visiting St. Louis?
No, very uncommon to do that. I just don't think there's a ton of upside in doing it. The Cardinals are a team. They play much better at home. Like I said, it's not one of those things where you can dig up the analytics and say it's because of this or that. They just get the job done at home, and I just don't like taking pitchers traveling into this ballpark.
Yeah, and like they've been ridiculously good against right-handed pitching this season. Yep. They lead the league in WOBA, ISO, WRC+, most home runs against righties. Like they've been really good against righties, and you look at the lineup and you're like, where's it coming from? So that's what we're here for. Let's talk about Philadelphia first. There's a couple Cardinals bats that I like, or a couple Phillies bats that I like. Is there anybody that you're targeting here for Philadelphia?
I mean, the one guy that definitely stands out to me, and I said it, I think, last time I was on the podcast here with you, is it's Franco, and he's just, like, the perfect guy to be, like, your one-off guy in the tournament. You know, if you need a third baseman, just to slot him in, because you're not – really, on very few occasions, you're going to load up on the Phillies and feel comfortable. You know, the lineup overall is just so weak, but this guy has just a ton of upside, so he's just perfect to slot in there in tournaments as a one-off guy. So for me, it's definitely him, and I would have no issue in cash games throwing in some of these cheapies that might make the way to the top of the order, whether it's Galvis, Cesar Hernandez, what's the other dude's name?
Herrera?
Yeah, Herrera. Any of those guys at the top of the order, I'd totally be fine rolling out there. But the one guy that stands out is Franco in tournaments for me.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, Franco is definitely my favorite option as well. And I think there's one thing that we need to mention. Franco's really cheap on Fantasy Draft before I talk about this next thing. But Herrera is a guy that, and like even Galvis, these guys are guys that we target, you know, to get on base and maybe steal a base from us. And I feel like, you know, Molina, I don't have the stats, but Molina's a tough catcher to steal off of.
Yeah, absolutely he is.
So I feel like that limits the upside of some of these guys. And I feel like the upside for Franco is he's boom or bust. He's a tournament player. He's 3,200 in a matchup against Wainwright, whose strikeout rate is just it's very low.
I mean, night in, night out, Franco's typically a pretty good, you know, one-off tournament guy.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. So let's talk about some of these Cardinals bats. I like him here against Hillison. Hillison, a guy that we can target some right-handed bats against, and that's what we're going to see here. And, you know, even the lefties, he's not much better against lefties.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all about the lineup positioning here. If a guy like Hazel Baker gets in there, I think we can definitely roll him out there. Matt Holliday has a nice price all across the industry. And the guy that's looked the best out of that group is Stephen Piscotty, just a hard contact guy. I mean, when he makes contact with the ball, it's typically a hard hit ball. So I like him. If Grychek's in there, I think he's a good option. Just a matter of who gets in the lineup. I think for me, I'm most excited about playing these outfielders. After these guys, I think Matt Adams, Brandon Moss, whoever bats in that cleanup spot, definitely guys that we can consider at first base. So a lot to like here. Don't be fooled by Hellickson's, you know, really good performance last time out. I don't think it's anything that we're going to see consistently and something that should drive us away from any of these Cardinals bats tonight.
Yeah, I feel like since we're doing the podcast, like, you know, it's the night before, like we always do. We don't have the lineup. You know, we can guess a projected lineup, but the Cardinals are – one of the hardest lineups to project. Yes. You never know who's going to be in the top five. So I feel like top five, who's ever in the top five, you can target the top five against Ellickson.
It's the best way to put it, absolutely.
Washington at Kansas City, going back to Kaufman here. Volquez against Gio Gonzalez. Volquez has been a guy that's been really interesting this season. He's been really hit or miss. You know, up until that last game against the Angels, he was really right around the strikeout per inning, and they hit him pretty hard.
Yeah, they definitely did. Just not a guy that I typically get excited about rostering, a guy that I rarely roster in DFS. If you want to roster him, I'd say definitely more so on two pitcher sites opposed to one. Then on the other side, obviously, Gio Gonzalez. It's the same story here when pitchers are facing the Royals. I mean, there's just not going to be many times that we go ahead and recommend a guy facing the Royals. They just don't strike out a ton. They put the ball in play. That really limits the upside for opposing pitchers. So, to be honest, I am definitely on one pitcher sites off both these guys. On two pitcher sites, maybe.
Yeah, like Volquez on Fantasy Draft, 14-4, one of the lowest priced pitchers on the slate.
Okay. Interesting.
I feel like he's an SP2.
Yeah, and where he's priced in the bottom tier, if he's the bottom third, if he's a bottom third pitcher on whatever site you're playing, yes, multiple pitcher site, I should say.
Yeah, you know, it's if you want to go kind of cheap, you're going to be looking at Volquez, Colon, and then one other guy that we'll talk about here in a few minutes, but yeah. I feel like he's solid. He's definitely a solid option here. Would I play him in cash? Probably not. The one thing that he does have going for him, especially on like a site like Fantasy Draft, like the win does mean a little bit here more than it means on DraftKings. So, you know, it's interesting. And you have to remember he has one of the best bullpens in baseball behind him.
Absolutely. You know, it's an underrated aspect of DFS, especially if you're playing on a site where the win is really valuable, like FanDuel. To a lesser degree, Fantasy Draft, you know, you can turn, if you turn the game over to the bullpen with a 3-1 lead, there's a pretty good chance that they hold it for you and the guy's able to pick up the win.
Pretty good chance. I would probably go, no.
Good chance.
Gio Gonzalez has actually been pitching pretty decent to start the year. We have the rule, and we're on the same page with this rule like a lot of DFS players are. We do not take pitchers against Kansas City.
Yeah, and so, like I said, the upside's really limited going against the Royals. I mean, there's going to be games where they do strike out a lot, but it will come very infrequently, and it's really hard to predict. I just don't know. I mean, they put the ball in play. They just don't strike out a ton. It really limits the upside overall. So Gio Gonzalez has pitched well this season. Just can't get excited to pull the trigger here.
There's not a lot of bats that I like in this game. There is a couple. Is there anybody that's really standing out to you here?
I mean, obviously, you know, Bryce Harper is in play basically every single night that he's in the lineup, and tonight's no different. More of a tournament option, I think. I don't think you really need to pay the high price tag for him tonight in this matchup. And then, you know, the bullpen as well, it gets late into the game. He's still going to have difficult matchups. A lot of times, the later it gets into the game, the more beneficial it is for the hitter because the bullpen pitchers typically aren't as good. That's not the case with the Royals. So don't think this is a spot that you really need to pay up for Bryce Harper, more of a pitcher's environment here anyway. So no thanks there. On the Royals side of things, I'm just really not excited about anyone there. Maybe Alcides Escobar is a shortstop punt play. Outside of him, not much for me.
So, you know, me and you were on the same page with Trout. We both thought that he was a great play here. Trout and cash, Harper in tournaments maybe?
Yeah, I like that. Like that call.
Yeah, like, you know, Harper even against the bullpen. Like, Harper can take anybody in the baseball league. Yeah, anybody in Major League Baseball, Harper can take them deep.
Absolutely.
One guy that really stands out to me here, you mentioned Escobar. If he's batting leadoff, I like him in this game. One guy that I really like in this game is Lorenzo Cain. Cain mashes left-handed pitching, 405 WOBA, 232 ISO, 159 WRC plus against lefties last season. Lorenzo Cain is a guy that's underpriced. He's only 3,100 on FanDuel. I like him a lot.
It's about as cheap as you'll see his price tag all season long. He was a guy last year we were paying 4K for and pretty comfortable with it. 3.1K. The matchup's not the greatest, but at that price tag, it kind of you know, limits a concern there a little bit. So I'd be fine with that. You know, probably maybe, you know, I guess I could play him in cash games at that price tag in this matchup. Yeah, I think that's about it for me though here.
Kane, another guy. I feel like over the course of the podcast every day, I'm going to give out like two or three guys that I really like in fantasy draft. Lorenzo Cain's only 7,500, extreme value play at 7,500 on fantasy draft. So fit him in with Conforto. And there's two of your outfielders when you're building your cash lineup on fantasy draft.
Yeah.
I'm going to swing it on over to the next game. Two games left here. Seattle at Oakland. Graveman, not a big strikeout guy against Seattle. And then Nathan Carnes is an interesting option for me. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really good tournament play here in the slate, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I like I like him as well, and I'd be willing to play him as an SP2 on multiple pitcher sites. Good spot here. He's a slight favorite on the road in Oakland, which is obviously a very pitcher-friendly park. A's lineup, you know, not really anything to be too afraid of. You know, Josh Reddick obviously has some power against right-handed pitching. Outside of him, just, you know, not much to really scare you away. So I'd be fine playing Carnes in tournaments and as a SP2.
Here's the thing about Carnes. What we want to see from Oakland in this game, and before we get lineups and stuff, we want to see a lot of left-handed bats because his strikeout rate is much higher against left-handed bats. So if Oakland rolls out a left-handed heavy lineup, say Crisp, you know, even Burns, like Reddick, all these guys at the top, like top six lefties, this is going to be a really good spot for Carnes to either go out and dominate the game or he's going to get hit up. Yeah. So I mentioned, like, he's the third guy of my, you know, fantasy draft plays. His price tag is too cheap. I feel like you can make a really good team with him and Cueto.
Yeah, I like that call. Like I said, in play for tournaments, and I'd be fine rolling him out as an SP2.
Graveman, I don't have a lot of interest at him. On FanDuel, his price is $5,200. You know, he has a 52-point game against the Yankees. Yeah. That was a fluke. I don't care what anybody says. That's a fluke. He's not going to score 50 fantasy points very often, if ever again this season. I don't like Graveman here.
Yeah, super fluky situation. But the price on FanDuel is interesting because you can just load up on basically any bat you want if you go that route. So the hope is, you know, if you do roster him, I'd say definitely more so in tournaments, is Cueto doesn't go crazy. Cueto just has a ho-hum game. Graveman goes out and gets you 30, 35 fantasy points and your hitters go absolutely nuts and that will win you the tournament. So that's what you're doing. If you're playing, Graveman, definitely a viable option in tournaments as far as I'm concerned, more so based on the price tag, not based on, the skill set that he has as a MLB pitcher.
Yeah, it's price and price alone. You know, you need him to go out and, like, the best case scenario, I feel like, in this matchup is five innings, like, you know, four or five strikeouts.
Gets a win.
Yeah, and a win. Like, probably a couple earned runs. And the problem with that is, so if you're playing multi-entry and you're playing a bunch of tournament teams here, if you are like me and you're going to have Carnes on quite a bit of your tournament teams, then you probably want to throw Graveman on the team just so you have the other side of that game.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, the Mariners come out completely flat and he has a good game. That's the hope. It's a possibility, like I said, and this would be the way, like, okay, we talked about it, but if it's like today's slate, like, no way I'm playing Graveman when you got Syndergaard, you have Kershaw. There's no way I'm taking that risk. Slate like today where there's maybe, you know, one guy in that top tier, Cueto, I'd be willing to take that chance in tournaments. Give it a shot.
Yeah, I feel like that's a great call and great comparison. This is a type of slate where you can take that shot. It's a 10-game slate where we have maybe three viable options on the hill, maybe four. Yep. So it's definitely one of those slates. So let's talk about some of the bats in this game. It is O.co. It's not a spot that we're going to target a lot of hitters, but I feel like we could target a couple of these Seattle Mariners bats. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, potentially. The problem I have is like the price tag on these guys. Like, obviously the name that stands out right away is Robinson Cano on FanDuel specifically. He's 3.6K. Especially in cash games, I'd find the extra 500 and just get myself up to Jose Altuve. On other sites where he's priced down, I'd have no problem going that route. If Seth Smith is at the top of the order, like him quite a bit. But on FanDuel specifically, he's now up to 3.3K. After a pretty decent run here. So not much interest there. Nelson Cruz, I think, is always a very viable tournament option, basically night in and night out. So those are the guys for the Mariners that kind of stand out.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. Like, I wish Smith's price was still down. It's not really
Yeah.
down. So that makes it a little tougher to play him. His price on fantasy draft has come up a little bit as well. It's at 6,800. So then you're making the decision, well, do I just pay the extra 700 bucks for Kane or
Yeah.
Conforto? Because you're probably going to want a third bat in the outfield that's a stud bat. So it's more, his price has come up a little bit. I feel like Nelson Cruz is a massive tournament play here. Now, the Oakland side of things, like, honestly, they are not a team that you can really stack. And like I said, when we were talking about Carnes, his strikeout rate against lefties is very solid, and I feel like they're going to throw a lot of lefties at him here.
Yeah, I think the only bat that really stands out to me would be, well, I guess anyone that's cheap that kind of works their way to the top. Like if Lowry continues to hit second, I'd be fine punting second base or third base, where whatever his eligibility is on the site you play on. I'd be fine punting him. If Coughlin gets up there, I'd be fine punting with him. And the one bat I'd consider maybe paying for is Billy Burns. I'm a sucker for that guy. He just seems to, always get on base and steal bases and scores runs. So, punt guys, yes. Burns, I think, interesting option too.
All right, moving on over to the last game of the night. And I finally have a hot take for you here with this game. So I'm going to let you lead it off. We have Colorado at San Diego. We have James Shield against Jonathan Gray.
Yeah, so I think this Gray guy is someone we might want to consider. Obviously, he doesn't have the benefit of pitching in a very good pitcher's park. He's a guy that pitches for the Rockies, so typically half his starts appear in Coors Field, which is the worst spot for starting pitchers. Well, now he gets to pitch in basically the best pitcher's park in baseball, Petco, and face the has to be the worst lineup in baseball. The Braves are trying to contend with that title, but it's a goat spot for him. He's had a game here with 10 strikeouts in Coors. I don't know. I think he's interesting, an interesting option. What's your take?
Well, my hot take is Jonathan Gray is on the winning FanDuel tournament lineup in this
I
slate.
like it. Yeah, I like it. It makes sense. I mean, it really does. This guy, a top prospect for the Rockies, obviously. Pitching in Coors is tough, and like I said, a lot of his starts happen in Coors Field, so it's really hard to see the upside that this guy really does have. But he has a 10 strikeout game this season, so he has to be somewhat decent.
Yeah, and if we're looking at, he's pitched 49 innings in the big leagues. His ERA is 6.57. His xFIP is 3.61.
Yeah,
That
that's
is
key.
almost 3 full points lower. Like, the kid is much better than what his numbers are. His swinging strike rate is over 10% in those innings. Like, this kid, he has some good stuff, and this is a great matchup for him to just go out and dominate. And his price tag, it's just too cheap.
I like the call. I like it for sure.
Shields is a guy that really struggles with lefties. He's going to see Blackman back in the lineup, Carlos Gonzalez, Petco's the issue. Petco's a spot that it's really tough to have big games in Petco. So what's your thoughts on the Rockies here?
I think they're interesting for tournaments, to be honest with you. They have the guys that can hit the home runs. And like you said, he's been very susceptible to left-handed power. Cargo, Blackman, even Parra. Parra hit one out today, so or Sunday. So I think the Rockies lineup is interesting for tournament stacks. Cargo, Arenado can hit just about anyone out of the ballpark. I like these guys in tournaments. It's a pretty sneaky stack here.
Yeah, I think that you pretty much nailed it. Like, even Arenado and Story, like, where Shields has a really high strikeout rate against righties, his home run to fly ball ratio is pretty average. Hard contact rate right at the 30% mark. So Arenado and Story are two other guys that can, you know, hit it out of Petco without an issue. So I agree with you on the sneaky stack for the Rockies.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, they have the guys that can hit the home runs, and you know, Shields, when he's off, the ball is typically leaving the yard. So like the Rockies in tournaments here.
I agree with you. I'm not going to target the Padres against Jonathan Gray. I'm sticking with the hot take. I think that he's a great pitcher on the slate.
Yeah, if I'm going anywhere, I don't know actually where I'd go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, where do you go? Like, he does
like John Jay. If I'm looking for an outfield punt, John Jay potentially. Don't really want any of the right-handed bats. So maybe John Jay, but nothing I'm like really excited about there.
Yeah, maybe Kemp. Like, maybe Kemp, just because I don't know. I don't even know why I would take Kemp. Like, I don't want to target these guys. So, man, that pretty much sums it up for a 10-game slate, game-by-game breakdown. You got the tournament side with Hoop. You got the tournament or the cash game side with Hoop, the tournament side.
Don't give me that much credit yet. Come on.
Hey, no. You know, we're getting you there. We're getting you there. Yeah. Doing this podcast when we tie twice a week, we're gonna get you there.
And when the twins go off tomorrow, I want all the credit on Twitter, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, I would expect Mike to get at least 10 tweets about that. And eight of them are going to be me. I got your back. All right, Hoop. It's one of the favorite things here on the podcast. I know me and you enjoy it. I actually haven't updated our scores from last week because I was really ridiculously busy trying to get ready for Talladega. But
I'm sure I won. I'm sure I hit like five. My guys had like five homers.
All right, let's talk some home runs. You know, as always, I'll be the honorable host here, and I'll let you lead it off here.
I'm gonna go Colby Rasmus.
The Rasmus, dude, I love that call. Like, he was definitely a guy that I had written down. I'm gonna stick to my tournament aspect here. I'm gonna go Brandon Moss, and I'm gonna go Lorenzo Cain.
Like it. I like it. I mentioned the guy earlier, so I feel like I need to go back to him. I'm going to go Hunter Pence.
I like Pence. I feel like we're going a little off the board here. I like this. I expect you to throw a super cash game play at me here.
You want me to get chalky?
Yeah, I really I you know, the listeners really want you to get chalky. Yeah.
All right, let me get chalky here. Jose Bautista? That's pretty chalky, right?
Joey Bats.
Yeah, that's pretty chalky.
I honestly, I'm not going to pick him, but I honestly thought you were going Trout.
Yeah, I thought about it, but I'm going to go Bats.
All right, Bats it is. My last one, I want a guy with you here in this San Francisco game, so I'm going to go Posey.
All right, like it.
So I went little unchalked in my first two, so. All right, my friend, one last thing before we get out of here. Give me a pitcher at the end of the day on FanDuel. Might not have the most fantasy points, but he's going to have a win in the win column.
Oh, all right, chalk or no chalk? Chalk or no chalk? Cueto just seems way too easy. I can't do that. I'll go Bartolo Colon.
Colon against the Braves. Yeah, I think it's solid.
Braves are bad. Braves are really bad.
I'm sticking to my hot take, my friend. Jonathan Gray, at the end of the day, win, and he's going to be on the winning fantasy FanDuel team. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I like that call, man. I like it. I mean, it could be a better spot.
Well, that sums it up for us, my friend. I feel like we need to talk about our new sponsor over at fantasydraft.com. Make sure you guys sign up through the RotoGrinders links to get all of the fun stuff with incentives and all that stuff over at Fantasy Draft. Through our links, and they got a nice $10,000, $22 buy-in. You only have to play against 516 people. They do max the entries out where it's a pretty even playing field. So with only 15 entry max, you're not playing against guys that have 1 to 200 teams in the tournament. They're not, you know, seeing 10%, 5%, however many it is of the tournament. So like these tournaments a lot. I've been playing them all year. I think they're really enjoyable. And a lot of action over there for basketball and baseball. So make sure you guys check out our friends over at fantasydraft.com. Hoop, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, happy to be here. Nice 10-game slate tomorrow. So hopefully everyone makes some money out there.
Well, we hope everybody makes some money as well. I hope the Twins go off so I can bug you on Twitter. My friend, it was fun. I will talk to you on Friday. Guys, we'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll see you then.